Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After a wild weekend, Red Sox Nation. Breaking news just moments ago, the Red Sox releasing a statement. The Red Sox have mutually agreed to part ways with manager Alex Cora. The Red Sox host their annual winter weekend and begin to move forward without Alex Cora.
We would ask that everyone reserve judgment until MLB completes this investigation and determines whether rules were violated.
This is Mutt, Merlone, and Bradford.
The Red Sox have won the championship.
Broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend. Red Sox Winter Weekend at the MGM Springfield.
Did you not adjust your radio? Yep, you heard it. Mutt Merlone, you're back. We are back, baby. Alongside Rob Bradford, Mass Mutual Center, MGM Springfield, Red Sox Winter Weekend. Boys, how are you?
I'm doing good. Took me a while to get here. It's like a maze. But then all these people out here, it's outstanding.
Look for all the money's being spent. Yeah. That's all you have to do.
If you go to college here, you know your way around.
I don't
know.
Oh, Rob's a hero. Yeah, this is his backyard.
This is my spot.
There's a lot going on, though. It's outstanding. I was the one last year, too. People everywhere enjoying it, getting ready. It's fun.
It's a baseball amusement park. Yeah. It is. People wait in line. Instead of a ride, they're getting autographs. I mean, I will say this. A little crazy. It's a 40-minute wait to get Dave O'Brien's autograph. Okay, I can get it for you for free any night of the week. So we wait for line and talk to Dave O'Brien.
We
love
40
him.
Minutes.
40 minutes. He's still talking to people over there.
Holy Jesus!
The president of the Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, is sitting down with us. Sam, happy winter weekend. How are you?
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year. Thanks for coming out here to the 413. Appreciate it.
Look at you and your area code.
Look at you. I like it.
Is baseball amusement park a fair? Description of what goes on here with Winter Weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. It's unbelievable how many people are here. We're appreciative of it. Obviously, first year in Western Mass. So we're blessed with a great fan base all over the six New England states. We've never done something like this out in the western part of the state, and the reception has been incredible. Last night, Town Hall was great, and just a ton of fans from all over the place, and really excited to turn the page on what was a very difficult week and start to look forward to 2020 because there's a lot going on, but we've got a lot of work to do in front of us. But it's good medicine to have fans here, and they're just so supportive, and we really, really do appreciate it.
Well, somebody does a talk show every night. You know, we've talked about baseball all week, and I don't think it's necessarily been good. I think it's been a bad week for baseball, and your team's been a part of that. And we broke the news Tuesday night when the Alex news came down, and we had the press conference the next day. And the question I had and a lot of people have as we pick through this week, Sam, you made a comment about Alex Cora is no longer your manager, you know, no longer being able to lead the team and the organization. I was just curious why, from your standpoint, because you love the guy, you said he was exceptional, a great man. So what changed in your mind, the owner's minds, and in Alex's mind, where he went from a great man to can't lead the baseball team after meeting with him on Tuesday afternoon?
Well, let me be clear. Nothing's changed about our feelings about Alex personally in terms of the type of guy he is, type of baseball person he is, type of family person he is. But what changed was we had a chance to review Major League Baseball's ruling, the report that came out on Monday afternoon. And when you study that report and you read it carefully, you recognize what happened in Houston and what went on. And we knew from management's perspective that it would be difficult for Alex to lead given this distraction that this has caused. And Alex recognized that as well, came in on Tuesday through a series of meetings and made it very, very clear that he was not comfortable leading the organization going forward given what had happened in Houston in 2017. So we came to the collective decision that it was in the best interest of the Red Sox to move on, as difficult as that was. It's been really a painful week and a difficult week for many people, especially the players and the coaching staff. But we have a job to do, and we're going to move forward. We're going to move on from this, and we'll put one foot in front of the other. We're now engaged in a managerial search, which is difficult timing, but we'll do it, and we'll be ready to go when we get down to spring training.
Is there any timetable at all in when you think this whole thing could be resolved? I think 60-some-odd days for the Astros. I mean, has MLB told you any of that stuff, kept you informed of any of that?
Yeah, no, we don't have a sense of the timetable. Major League Baseball, we are, as we said at the press conference, we are fully cooperating. They need to do a thorough, exhaustive examination of what happened or what didn't happen, and they'll do a good job of that, as they did in the Houston situation. And then we'll deal with the results of it when that comes out, and we'll be supportive and cooperative and look forward to getting it behind us. But the answer to your question is I don't know the timetable or how it's going to play out over the next couple of weeks.
I would go back to that press conference, and the one thing I would ask you is that when talk about, I think it was withhold judgment, you know, let's wait until this report comes out. Yet, when you're asked if you had beaten the Dodgers fair and square, you said absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
So I would sit there and say, well, how can you say that if I'm supposed to withhold judgment because I don't know what the report says? Are you sure? You sounded pretty sure.
Pretty sure that you beat the Dodgers.
That you beat them clean. My thing would be, how do you know?
Yeah.
You don't know what the investigation says.
Well, because I was asked a question, and I responded with what I feel in my heart.
Okay.
And that's how I feel. So, you know, we'll see. Look, I'm not going to get into the details of those allegations that were in the article that are now being investigated. We're going to have to see exactly what happened. But I was asked a question, did we beat the Los Angeles Dodgers fair and square in the World Series to cap off a historic season? Absolutely,
yes. See, I heard that response, and my first thought was they don't think they did anything.
Yeah.
Because
think that Dodgers did something, too.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like the whole thing, you know, just listening to it, to be real, it was sort of like, okay, what am I listening to? It doesn't make sense. And then you start thinking about it later on that night, the next day, and withhold judgment, you know, they're very definitive. Yes, they did it. I thought they don't think they got anything. They don't think there's anything there. They don't think they did anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the way I said what I said, and I stand by it, and I believe it. But again, we're also going to follow the Major League Baseball's directive to not discuss the investigation that they're engaged in. But I can absolutely answer that question, and I answered it on Wednesday, and I'll answer it again, and that's the way I feel, and we'll go forward from there.
The timing of the managerial search obviously is unbelievably imperfect. Another,
you could say that again.
Put that on the T-shirts.
Yeah.
But here's another problem I would imagine you're going to face, which is say that you lock in on somebody or maybe a group of finalists. Well, then you have to vet them through Major League Baseball. The way that it is in Major League Baseball right now, everyone is under suspicion. So say you lock in on somebody, all of a sudden, do you have to now go to Major League Baseball and say, all right, is there anything that you guys think that he has done at any point in his career?
You know, I think you have difficulties when you hire anybody for any position in terms of do you know absolutely everything that's happened in their past? The honest answer to that is no, you don't. So, look, I'm not concerned, frankly, about that. What I'm concerned about is getting someone that Chaim Bloom and Brian O'Halloran and our baseball ops staff and our coaching staff and the players feel really strongly about it, and a leader that can hopefully put this club in a position to be very competitive in the American League East in 2020, get into October baseball, and have a chance to win another World Series championship. We're better than an 84-win team. And we had a disappointing year last year for a variety of reasons, but I think we've got a team built to compete in the American League East. Yes, it will be harder. Competition's gotten better. But I think we're going to be able to compete in 2020, and I think we're going to be able to compete in 21 and 22 and 23. We're investing heavily into our baseball operation. This is my 19th year with the Boston Red Sox. We have an ownership group in John Henry and Tom Werner that are hungry for a fifth World Series championship, and that commitment will always be there.
There's no doubt. Listen, when people talk about cutting payroll, you're still going to end up with a payroll over $200 million. But the whole thing, going back to John's comments in late September in the suite up there about the CBT, and immediately it's a goal, not a mandate. And then now the whole media-driven, this is a media-driven thing, which is for me is hard because by the actions of the team so far and the inactivity and all that, and also, by the way, by the definitive statement that John made, none of that, anybody, forget about the media, anybody would go down the road of saying that is their approach. And I get it, five-year plan and everything else. It's okay if this is part of the five-year plan. So what's your thoughts about this whole idea? And I guess it came up again last night about the media-driven CBT conversation.
Yeah, John and Tom said it last night again. It's a media-driven thing. And the quote again from John, to your point, was, everyone knows the last year we've had to get below that CBT. And it seems like now he's putting that on guys like us on the air, pointing back to that quote.
Well, look, the CBT represents one guidepost, if you will, as you're constructing your budget. You look at the baseball penalties associated with it. You look at the financial penalties associated with it. In my 19 years here, we've been under the CBT probably half the time. We've been over the CBT half the time. I don't like to talk about finances or CBT, and I don't like to send a signal to other clubs. So we'll just leave it at that, and you know, we'll see. Tom was very clear that it was a goal, and yeah, would you rather build a baseball team and spend less money in doing it and reserve dollars for later years? You know, yeah, of course, because then you have more resources to continue to spend. But in our sport, we don't have a salary cap. We don't have a hard fixed number each and every year like they do in football or hockey. Basketball slides a little bit, obviously. But we try to spend less time talking about money and finances and making sure that we're investing in scouting, player development, major league free agency, homegrown guys, international signings. We have incredible resources, and the reason why we have incredible resources is because the fans support us at the gate. They support us with concessions. They support us on radio. They support WEEI. They support NESN, and we never take that for granted. So we'll see. We've got a condensed managerial search, and the trade market kind of slowed down after a lot of those big free agent signings. We'll see what the next couple of weeks bring as we look to put the finishing touches on constructing what the 2020 team is going to look like. But the goal is clear. The goal is to compete in the American League East. The goal is to try and win a World Series and be competitive each and every year. Sometimes you do take a step backwards, either by action or by inaction, and we'll see what 2020 brings.
See, to me, that whole thing, when John Henry said that in September, I know what he said to Shaughnessy the other day, is sometimes I'm too honest in live settings, and I think that is it. Because if the goal is to get under 208 and you need to shed $25 to $30 million, the last thing you want to do is tell the world that you have to. Because if I have to shed that, I don't need to give you any prospects. I don't need to give you anything in a deal. Like, you know, it kills your leverage. So now it does. It sort of seems like it's trying to control it a little bit, like a little bit of, oh, no, no, we're willing to do it to try to get some leverage back.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, I'm not going to opine.
See, I'm sneaky like that,
yeah,
right?
And I understand the question. I'm just not going to opine on what we may or may not do in the next couple weeks. We're going to continue to honor the commitment to try and put the best possible product out there for the short term and the long term. And that's always, again, 19 years here, that's the push and pull. So, short term, long term, it's really hard to do both. We have successfully done that in this era of the John Henry, Tom Warner ownership of the Boston Red Sox. As a kid who grew up here, going to games at Fenway Park my entire life, being blessed to be from here, this has been the most incredible era in Boston Red Sox baseball. Thanks to this ownership group, thanks to them saving Fenway Park, thanks to them investing in baseball operations through the draft, through international, through free agency, what they've done to give back to the community. It has been, obviously I'm biased, and it's my job. I work for the organization. But let's look at what's happened in 20 years of the Boston Red Sox since these two guys have owned and operated the team. And I think anyone would sign up for that era. And you know what? We're hungry for a fifth championship and a sixth championship and a seventh championship. So we're going to keep going. And it's been a difficult week, but the commitment is there and it will always be there. These are competitive owners. They want to win, and it's a privilege to be a part of this organization.
Do you a question of, I guess, a broader question in this city. Do you feel like your team has a perception problem? Just PR wise?
You know, I think it's hard. That's for others to judge, right? Because what we're guided by is doing what we think each and every day is in the best interest of the Boston Red Sox. Sometimes we make wildly popular decisions. Sometimes we make wildly unpopular decisions. And you know what? That's because we're in the best baseball market in the country that people have positive reactions or negative reactions. We can't control that. I had a talk or an exchange, I should say, with Brad Stevens, who I'm a big fan of. And he reminded me that, you know, in times like these and in leadership and in management, you got to control what you can control. And we're focused on what we can control. We're going to try and make the best decisions possible for the Red Sox. Have we made bad decisions in our 20 years here, if that's the question? Because you're talking about perception and PR. Yeah. That's for others to judge. We've made mistakes. Absolutely. I make mistakes every single day. But have we made mistakes in our 20 years here, nearly 20 years here? Of course. Of course. But have we made some good decisions? Yeah, I think we have.
Well, to that end, you mentioned last night it was a town hall forum or a sit-down, Sam. Ticket sales are down from where they were a year ago. What do you attribute that to? Is it the likability thing Lou's talking about? Is it the bad year last year? What do you think has been the major factor? Talk to fans here at this event.
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of a lot of different things. Usually you have a lag effect on ticket sales, either in a negative way or a positive way. So coming out of a World Series championship year, you're typically going to get a spike. Interestingly, one of the years where the ticket sales were down for most of the year was 2013, a year where we won the World Series, and that was following a very difficult 2012 campaign.
Yeah.
And we sold at the deadline, made that Dodge, now famous Dodgers deal. So 2013, it took a while for the market to really get behind this team, but obviously you want ticket sales to be up every year, but the reality is, given we've been at this so long, we understand that we have to earn the fans' trust, their respect, and we need to be credible, and they need to get on board with the team once they feel that it's time to get on board. And we think our fans will get on. We know our fans will get on board as long as we're doing the right things on the field.
You say trust, and this is a bigger picture, but I think fans have a real lack of trust in the sport right now. This week has been insane. You have players airing out other players. You had three players go to Drellick and Rosenthal about your team. What do you tell fans who are wondering now, is the game on the up and up? Because this week has been a very good test, I think, of how much people really love baseball and trust the sport.
Yeah, I agree with you. This has been a really challenging and difficult week for baseball. Again, back to controlling what we can control. We're going to focus on our actions, our activity as we go forward, and focus and worry about the Boston Red Sox. Look, Major League Baseball did a good job with their policing of the Houston Astros, the investigation. They did what they needed to do. They're going to do what they need to do with us. We're going to fully cooperate, and we'll see where it takes us.
So you talk about moving forward, and a part of that moving forward is what we talked about before, the managerial search. It's not only you looking for a manager, you have two other teams. And in the last couple of days since the press conference, I would imagine you've been able to kind of sink your teeth into that a little bit more. Do you feel the push and pull of these other two teams looking for a manager too? And I know you said you don't have a timeline or anything along those lines, but in these couple days that you've sort of started really in deep with that managerial search, what has been the feeling?
So the feeling has been an examination of the qualities that we're looking for. Chaim and BOH and Raquel and Eddie and Zach have spent a lot of time the last three or four days talking about what is it exactly that we're looking for at this moment in time. Is it
which, by the way, it might be different than what you were looking for when Alex Cora was
right? Yeah, I mean, look, we're recognizing where we are. This is highly unusual. I mean, I think John Henry said at the press conference, you know, it's not ideal to be looking for a manager at this time of year. So we have to take that into consideration. Can you conduct the typical exhaustive managerial search process at this time of year? Probably not, because you want to have someone in place as we get down to spring training and get going. So do you look for an interim solution? Do you look for a more permanent solution? We have to come to that conclusion very quickly, and we'll do that.
So last one for me about Mookie Betts. So last offseason, kind of all hell breaks loose, right, with some of the best players in the game, whether it's Mike Trout, Arenado, Harper, Machado. To me, the bar is set. To me, the comps are there. To me, I just look at it and say, okay, both sides should know what it, have you guys sat down? I think the last time we heard it was like 8-200. That was like years and years and years ago. That was made public. Yeah. Have you sat down in the last year or two? Have you sat down this offseason and tried to work something out?
We're going to keep our conversations with Mookie and his agent.
Good try, Lou. Between us and Mookie and his representatives.
But, look, Mookie Betts is an unbelievable baseball player and an unbelievable person. We've said it ad nauseum. This is a guy you'd like to have in that lineup and at Fenway Park. But it always takes two sides to make a deal. We haven't made a deal yet, obviously. We did have a very smooth pre-arbitration process. Went very well. I think Mookie's happy. I think we're happy. So we'll see where 2020 takes us.
LeBron James Jr. over the hotel just now. I just ran into him.
Really?
So, yeah, so that's all you need to know. The whole thing is coming together.
Picking out his spot in the Hall of Fame? Or
some
his
high school
spot?
Basketball tournament that Rob's telling everybody about that he's playing in. I don't
know. I'm not playing it. No,
but Bronny Jr. is playing
Bronny Jr. is across the street. That's big news. Forget about all this managerial and Mookie talk. I mean, that's...
Just stay off the court, will you?
Jump on the court celebrating. Sam, last one for me. You guys spent a lot of time Tuesday saying you couldn't talk about certain things in the investigation. Are you willing to commit that once the MLB comes forward, you guys will have another sit-down with either us or the media and talk about their report, whether it's positive or negative for the team? Because Jim Crane, I mean, he was pretty honest, man. He came out and said, look, we're doing these moves because it's about our team and organization respect. Will you guys sit back down once the report comes out and discuss with the media?
Of course, yeah. We've got an obligation to do that, and we'll deal with it as it comes our way, and we'll work through it. So, yeah, for sure, and... Again, this is a difficult period for the franchise and for the sport, and I want to thank our fans who are sticking with us and sticking with the sport because it's just Mutt's pointing out to the crowd. It's remarkable to see the support, and look, you've got two decades of doing this. We've had some, as you guys know, we've had some high highs here. We've had some low lows. It always seems to be that way in Boston. I mean, Lou, you've been a part of a lot of different teams, and we'll get through this. John Henry talked about it at the press conference. This group's a family. You got great men and women in this organization, and we'll stick together and get through this together.
Was this the biggest gut punch? You talk about all this, like the investment and success, and you're right.
Yeah.
But was that, to me, when I watched you guys up there, that seemed like the biggest gut punch you guys have had.
Yeah, if you know, for me, it's been a real challenging time, and I think that's probably because I've let my emotions get a little bit in the way, and the personal feelings that you have for teammates and people that you work with. And Alex was our leader, such a special 18 team, and what he did. Here as a player, remember he played for us 2005-2008, and this is a guy that we called on and would go down to Dana-Farber at the drop of a hat, or you know, Big Poppy oversleeps. You know, there comes Alex Cora to meet with a kid or a WEI advertiser or whatever it is. I mean, so great organizational guy. We recognize that we had to do what we both sides had to do what they had to do and move on. But it was hard, yeah. This has been really, really difficult. I said it at the press conference, you know, we don't rank crises around our organization. We've had ups and downs, but this has been really difficult. But we'll get through it. We'll get through it together.
Based on what you know, should you get a chance to manage again in Major League Baseball, Alex Cora?
You know, it's a good question. We'll see how things play out. I think we need to get through all of this. As you said, there's different things coming out. But I believe that people should be held accountable for their actions, for mistakes that they make. I believe people should be given forgiveness as well. I think people should, and how you handle mistakes that you make and taking accountability for them. I think it's the first step towards forgiveness, and I believe in forgiveness.
Can I just tell you, we just posted on WEI.com a text message from Mike Lowell that's saying that he would be willing to manage the team for a year if it meant bringing Alex Cora back the following year.
Wow.
So keep that in mind.
Wow, Mikey Lowell. Good to hear from Mike Lowell. Wow.
I don't think I'm a good fit for you, Sam.
I'd like to take myself out of the running.
You'd be
bored. There'd be no microphone in front of your face.
Well, I think it might be.
We could make that work.
There might be some trust issues
for us.
I don't know.
Sam Kennedy, president of the Red Sox, joining us here Winter Weekend. Sam, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you. Thank you.
It's Mutt Maloney and Bradford. We're live here at the MassMutual Center, MJ in Springfield here. Great crowd behind us here that are here to celebrate baseball in the Boston Red Sox. We have a lot of guests to get to. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, as you expect. We'll do it all.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to Mutt Maloney and Bradford, broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at the MGM in Springfield on Sports Radio WEEI.
Let's look at what's happened in 20 years of the Boston Red Sox since these two guys have owned and operated the team. And I think anyone would sign up for that era. And you know what? We're hungry for a fifth championship and a sixth championship and a seventh championship.
Not four, not five, not six, not seven.
So we're going to keep going. And yeah, it's been a difficult week. But the commitment is there and it will always be there. These are competitive owners. They want to win.
All right, that was Sam Kennedy with us a couple minutes ago. It's Mutt Maloney and Bradford live here from the MassMutual Center in Springfield, MGM Springfield, for Winter Weekend. And look, when online poker first cranked up, Poker Stars, I played a lot of Poker Stars back in the day, so I fancy myself that I can, you know, read people.
Yeah.
Sam Kennedy is walking around here like the Major League Baseball has zero on them. Whether it's true or not, Lou, he and other Red Sox employees I've talked to since I've been here are walking around like they got nothing. And that's exactly how he sounded with us here in the first half hour of the show.
Well, I think we even talked about it, Rob. I think when we played like the press conference, right? We listened to it. We went right on the air right away. And I said to myself, what the hell is that? Like, what am I watching? Mm-hmm. You know, and then so after a while, I was like, God, they just can't. And then at night, I sat there after the show, and after a while, you know, you're dissecting it every which way. And I was like, actually, if they think they didn't do anything, and now it makes sense the way their press conference went. So all I can tell you is that from what I heard, pretty much, like, you know, that the league is still kind of looking into things, but I don't think they have much. I think the Red Sox do feel good about it.
Hey, but if you have the Ron Renicki sound, text me, because Ron Renicki weighed in this today with a very strong statement. We should play that at some point.
The coaches
here
were down in media availability. Ron Renicki, you come away from him, and first of all, you're saying that's the guy that might not be a bad choice for manager, the way that he approached it. Some of the other coaches were a little sheepish. Like, to be perfectly honest with you, and it's a tough situation for all of them. Two takeaways. Number one, I'm glad how you read everybody by your online poker experience.
Yes, even though you can't see people in online poker.
That's very
good takeaway.
Yeah. I would say this to what you just I don't know what coaches you talked and you said.
Well, Tim Hyers is there.
Okay.
Like, all the coaches are
there. All right, so what I'm saying is that Ron Renicki's a manager. He has been a manager before, right? A successful one. And he's been in the big leagues for a long, long time. I think he's more comfortable being that guy in front of the media talking to them.
Well, he came off as very honest.
Yeah.
Very honest in terms of Because
he's the guy.
Which they need. The organization needs sort of an honest voice, at least, whether they're right or wrong. Don't sound prepackaged.
And also,
so yeah, I like that.
That's, and also very secure in himself.
Yes,
and
confidence.
And like that's what one of the things I found interesting with Sam talking about the managerial surge. People should understand like how this has changed since the Alex Cora hire. I mean, John Farrell was the right guy at the right time. Alex Cora was the right guy at the right time. What we are seeing now is dramatically different. You need a guy, and it might be an older guy that doesn't know very much about analytics, but you have to have the idea of stability. But, Lou, to go back to what you were talking about, how confident they are about this being nothing. Okay, but they have to be very careful here, because if they are confident and anything comes out, then it's a problem.
Sure.
And really, it's hard when you have that story in The Athletic. And you have, I know that they were anonymous, but still, you had very detailed things from three different people. That's a very, to me, that's a pretty big leap of faith still to say there was absolutely nothing. If I had to guess, I think it's somewhere in the middle. You know, I don't think it's nearly what people think it's going to be.
My point is that is there's the difference between what's legal and what's illegal. And basically, I would say the basic fan doesn't know the difference. They think if
it's not going to matter.
They think if you're stealing signs,
you're right.
Then that's illegal, and it's not that. You can walk into a series and have every single sign from a pitcher. You can walk into the series and say, by the way, when he gets on second base, this is the signs he uses. All that is legal.
But the problem is that you still have, and we talked about this the other day, you still have the warning from the Apple Watch thing hanging over your head. Mm-hmm. So the legal, what you did, what you didn't do, it takes on a new sort of light. Because of that warning. If there wasn't that warning, you're right. It would be a totally different thing. But anyway, we can talk about this.
And the other part is, look, if they come out and they find like literally nothing, doesn't then the three sources that talk to Evan and Rosenthal, don't those guys start to dig back in?
Sure.
I mean, that's the issue I have. And this is why I have a problem with the penalties. We spent all week talking about, did they do too much? Did they do enough? What about the players? They had to send a message, right? Because these players are going to keep coming out of the woodwork, I think, until they feel like they've gotten a fair shake here for Major League Baseball. Trevor Bauer's going to keep tweeting. Beltran's niece is going to keep tweeting.
But which is why, like you know, I think, I don't know, you're talking about before, like if they come out and say the Red Sox don't do anything, nobody will believe them.
Unfortunately, yes.
I don't see how MLB could do that. If they find something, they got them. If they don't find something, they don't got them. Because like you said, if you say, I don't got them, then those three guys go talking and saying, I have more evidence. I have this, I have that. But there's a very good chance that two clueless pitchers have no clue what's going on, only because guys know the signs, so they think they got them illegally, when actually they got them legally, and they just don't know.
Well, another problem in terms of the investigation is they're going to go and talk to a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is that we know that there are people from outside the organization. No one in the organization is going to say that the Red Sox did anything wrong.
Well,
no,
why? No.
Because I don't
think
anybody
in the Astros admitted it?
No.
Of course they did.
Yeah, of course. But after everything that has happened, after they have seen the fallout of all of this, I don't think anybody in here.
Oh, I think they better.
Well, I don't think they will. And if they don't, then you're relying on a very select group of people who are outside the organization. A lot of who they think are going to be the sources.
I find that hard to believe you're not going to tell the truth. So you got 13 people lying, 13 people telling the truth. They don't know who's lying, who's not. So you are screwed. You can't do that.
You just mentioned it. The double secret probation they were on. They can't skirt around this.
Well, tell me what happened.
Well, we'll see.
We're going to get to a lot of this. Pedro Martinez is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. And joining us here is the president of MGM Springfield. He's Mike Mathis, a former guest of the Mutt at Night show. He's joining us here.
Everyone knows that.
With Lou and Bradford. And the only question we had, the only important question, a million fans want to know, which Red Sox player lost the most money last night? Who was it, and what did they lose at?
I got to protect my sources here.
Come on.
My customers.
Just us. It's just
well, I'll
us.
Tell you, this is how unlucky we've been is we couldn't even beat the Red Sox management on the blackjack table. Those guys have never won a bet in New England, and somehow we couldn't even get to them last night. So
jeez.
Now everybody had a good time, and it was great. The property is popping. The city is putting their arms all around the Red Sox. It's a pretty amazing weekend.
So it's nice that they were able to bring it out here and obviously have it at your place, because there is sort of like, East Coast of Massachusetts, right? Like just Eastern Mass bias all the time when there are plenty of Red Sox fans obviously out here in Western Mass.
Yeah, you know, the Red Sox folks have told me that the passion that comes from the Western Mass group, you know, it rivals the Boston group because not everybody can get out to Fenway all the time as easily. So when you get a group out here and they can touch the players and the management, there's a special level of intensity there. So it's been great to see the fans react to the team being here.
Can I just tell you, so I went to Springfield College, and I came out here a year ago, and when I saw this, I'm like, this has totally changed the city.
Yeah.
It has, and that can't be said for a lot of casinos or resorts or anything, but this has totally changed how Springfield is, and this is a perfect example of it. And walking around here, the other thing is the pride that the people out here are taking with this event. I can tell you, how do you like Springfield? How do you like us now? You know, this is a big, big deal for good reason.
Yeah, I was at Town Hall last night with sitting right next to the mayor, and all the shout-outs that Sam Kennedy and the ownership gave to Springfield and the city hosting this event, pretty special. So you're exactly right. You know, we made a big investment here. We got Wahlburgers coming in the summer.
Nice.
You know, it's little dominoes, but an event like this, bringing it every year, we're going to have a monster enshrinement class. Kobe, yeah. Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett. I mean, 2020 is a huge year for Springfield, and to kick this event off, the inaugural event here, it's pretty special.
Well, people, you guys want to let us in on your little private discussions?
What's that?
But when sports gambling is coming?
That's all we talk. That's all I do on my show. It's all we talk about is legalized sports betting, and Mike and I are in the lockstep here. But I also think people should know, I think when they go to Fenway this year, you're going to see a big MGM Springfield logo pretty prominently displayed on that, what's that, green monster out there?
That's right. Yeah, we actually took over last year, that spot. So we were on there all last year, and it's really important. It's important for branding, and you know, we're a global company, and it's one of the most iconic opportunities that you can to associate yourself with a great brand.
So as Lou mentioned, I want legalized sports betting. I'm pretty sure Mike Mathis, who's the we all want legalized sports betting right here. Right. Look at his crowd. Let's go.
Even the kids are clapping.
Thank you for that drop, Mike.
It's like the Arizona. It's like the Astros now whistling to create their own noise. You came on the show, and I've been told since you came on, there's been some movement with legalized sports betting.
So one, thank you for carrying the torch.
Sure is.
And I thought I wanted sports betting as much as anybody in the state, but I can tell you want it even more.
Sure do.
I respect
sure
that.
Sure do.
So yeah, there's we've worked together with the leagues, with fantasy sports, DraftKings, great company right in Boston, and they need to be involved as well. So we've all figured out our issues, and we got a draft piece of legislation that's going to the state house in the next week or so, and I think they're talking about committee meetings and a strong commitment to try to get done by the summer.
Beautiful.
So we're gonna run like the Dickens to get ready for football season. That's the main goal.
Makes a lot of money.
But very very optimistic. But we got to keep the pressure on and just raise the urgency.
Can we right now when that happens? Can we have Mike Menansky along your side?
Oh my God,
making that first bet.
Yes.
All right.
He
there we go.
To cut the ribbon.
No one deserves it more. Yeah.
He wants to cut the ribbon. Right.
Forget about that. Let's worry about tonight. So the steakhouse is sold out. If I use your name, I mean, my wife going to be okay?
Unfortunately, only you and like 3,000 people have been dropping my name tonight. But yes, I will make sure you get into the steakhouse.
It'll be right after Pedro and Ortiz.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
We can fit you at 11:45 p.m. We'll sneak in there.
Menansky?
Who?
Excuse
what? Me? That Irish?
That's right.
He is the president here at MGM Springfield, and we are thrilled to be out here at his great location. He is Mike Mathis, everybody. Mike Mathis. Thanks, Mike. Congratulations,
thanks.
Man.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Good to
thanks,
talk
Mike.
To you.
All right, appreciate
Mike
it.
Mike hanging out with us. We got a lot of guests thanks. Coming up. We will talk to Pedro Martinez,
ooh.
Nathan Eovaldi, and a lot more. We'll see if Pedro's going to be the next manager of the Boston Red Sox. We're here at Mass Mutual Center. It is Mutt Maloney and Bradford for Red Sox Winter Weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to Mud, Maloney, and Bradford. Bradford, broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at the MGM in Springfield on Sports Radio WEEI.
This job, and when you see a team that comes together like we did in 18, and I've never been with a team that good. I've been with a lot of really good teams, but never that good. And to see what we did through the whole season, and then to have something, an allegation made that you know, deters from that feeling of what we accomplished, it's hard because, you know, your friends hear that, your family hear that, and they question like everybody else has. And so to do something that good and then have it maybe tarnished some is it's tough.
Right, thanks, guys. Details. Guys, Ron.
This job, and when you see
Ron Renneke, Red Sox bench coach, still currently bench coach, right? Not been elevated to manager yet, but sounding
not yet.
As you said, sounding managerial, Rob. That sounds like a guy who was willing to step up for his coaches, and whether he's right or wrong, sort of defend the idea that they're being tarnished.
Let me ask you this, Rob. Do you remember anybody in the Houston organization sitting there saying, how dare people accuse us of cheating throughout the investigation?
Oh, no. No, of course not.
No, what's what I mean? Don't you find it weird that the bench coach is kind of like, you know, for someone to call us cheaters and allegations, it hurts, we didn't do it. Like,
well,
organization defending itself.
Well, in that clip, listen, he never said, we never did this. He said it hurts to be called cheaters, right? And I'm sure that people you could go.
So that wasn't a denial.
No, I don't think.
It's the closest thing we've gotten from anyone. Sure, the Red Sox he said it hurts to hear people saying it's
exactly.
being tarnished.
So it shouldn't be tarnished. To answer your question about people in Houston, I would imagine that people would said along the same lines, especially people on the coaching staff, would feel that they probably didn't have anything to do with it. It hurts to be put in the crosshairs like this. Yeah. Nobody here is going to say, hey, we did not do it because of obviously it's an ongoing investigation. That much is clear. And we can read the tea leaves, which we've all been trying to do. And sure, you know, I do agree with you guys this, even with your online poker take,
yeah,
reading people, that I do believe that they feel like it's not, if nothing else, it's not as bad as people are making it out to be.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. I know Renneke, to me, I've always felt like, okay, you got to get through the investigation before you can sit there and promote from within. You know what I mean? You can't have a Beltran situation to where you...
Rob's point, vetting everybody.
You got to vet everybody. I mean, you have to vet everybody. And even, like we said, like, okay, Dusty Baker's hired. You have to go to MLB and
well,
say...
Well, especially on his own staff. What is the next manager's the 49th?
Yes.
You want to make sure that it's not 50 by the time you get to opening day.
No.
You know what I mean? You hire Renneke and you're like, woo, all right, Renneke's our bench coach. Tech, you're our bench coach. Renneke's our manager. And then 3 weeks from now, the report comes out and Renneke's all over and they're like, Renneke's fired.
But
Tech, you're our manager.
Do you agree with me that is why everyone wanted to jump on Renneke and especially jump on Jason Veritek? That is an enormous obstacle to get past?
Yes, it is. Unless you believe you didn't do anything.
Sure.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, and you have proof.
And you know they're clean.
And that's the thing. And whether it's internal or whether it's one of these other guys. And we talk about it is baffling, or not baffling, but amazing, that the next manager, the guy they're looking for, is the exact opposite of what we thought managers were supposed to be like. In other words, these guys, you would never think the Red Sox would hire a quote-unquote, I don't want to say
Mike Socha, Dusty
Mike
Socha. Yes.
But because,
I know what you mean.
Because like Sam Kennedy sat here and said, it is different. We have a perception problem. We need stability. And that's what they're prioritizing, not having the guy who knows the next wave of analytics.
No, grown up.
Yes.
And I think that's what I think, like I said, Renneke, I think, to me, fits the mold.
And we can talk about this more later, but couldn't – if they – maybe Chaim Bloom wants one of those guys. Matt Cotero, his bench coach in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Brady Williams, the AAA coach in Durham, just won a championship
last
year. Well, not this year.
Yeah.
But they could slap an interim tag on
Mike
one of these
Lowell's
guys we're talking about.
Over, yes.
Sure, Jason Veritek.
I wouldn't want to do that at all, man. This is the Boston Red Sox. You don't fish for your next manager in a small pond.
Well, Chaim Bloom should be able to pick his next manager.
That's what I'm saying. So this year, it's like you sort of sit there and say, okay, Renneke, you're the guy, Tech, whatever, you're the bench coach, get Tech some experience in that position. And then you're Chaim Bloom, and you sit back, and you say, this is the Boston Red Sox. It's a big job. I'm going to pick out of a big group of managerial prospects, whether it is old, whether it is new, whether it's analytical, whatever it is, because the idea is to hire a guy for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
You would think
not
so.
For two,
but you
or three or four, like it's been going on here. Hell, Valentine was here for about, what, 3 weeks?
Fifth manager in 10 years. But to that point, you would admit right now, they're not picking from that pool. Right
no,
now,
no,
they
no.
they can't pick from there's that pool some, no, right but, now. They're in the small pond. But, they got to go to the ocean.
But there's some good candidates where they are right now. But you're the Red Sox.
You want
the big pool.
All right, we'll talk about the pool of candidates coming up. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls. We are guest heavy early. Sam Kennedy joined us. Mike Mathis, MGM Springfield. And coming up after the break, Pedro Martinez will join us. We'll see if Pedro wants to announce he's the next manager
Smoothie.
Of the Boston Red Sox. He will join us next year live at Red Sox Winter Weekend in Springfield.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.